Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
What it is, welcome to Tyrus and the Wiseman. This time we're rolling for real. We've had like seven false starts the last couple days, but this is print. We're gonna roll with this one. I think everybody was affected by Briscoe's tragic death. That really makes you like you all the things that can happen. Life on the road is hard, and we forget how dangerous the road is. You know.
Yeah.
Well, then we were talking about it yesterday. They put out a police report that it basically at this point was just a simple accident. An oncoming driver swerved into his lane and they hit head on. And it wasn't any foul play. There wasn't any alcohol.
Just an accident, yeah.
It's just a simple fucking accident. And they both died, you know.
Yeah.
The driver of the other vehicle passed away as well too. And it almost with wrestling, we're always used to hearing like
the bad tragic drugs,
right? Or
dying, you know, heartbroken in a hotel room. Yeah.
Right. And this was just a simple mistake, just accident. And, and which makes it even harder sometimes. You know what I mean? You have nobody to blame.
Yeah. And you're right. You know what? That's such a good point, man. Cause you get so focused up and being mad. It's like, and it's one of those things where like it just kind of hits you in the chest a little bit. You're like, wait, what? Like, no, that didn't happen. And then, you know, it did happen. And, I never got the chance to work with him in the ring, but, Tenzai and I were tagging in a house show, I think in Delaware.
Yes, it was Delaware.
Yeah. It was against you, right? Was it you and Cody?
Yes, it was.
And
another one of our
Briscoes were in the front row. They had brought their family to the show. And I was on the apron and I was like, oh shit, it's the Briscoes. And they were like, oh shit, it's Brodus Clay. And I looked at Tenzai like, man, we need to make this a triple threat. Like, this is these guys are here. They're like, they're great. I'm big fans of theirs. So we're talking to them on the apron the entire time. We're starstruck and they're starstruck. It was pretty cool. But they're just cool. They were just cool, and I don't think any – and I love the fact that they did it their way. And they're probably one of the most over guys in our sports who never really signed with anyone because he didn't want to, you know? And that's pretty cool.
Well, it's not because they really didn't want to, neither. It's they had the heat on them from Jay's tweet. And – you know, amazing guy. But, like, I don't know if y'all are aware of this. Did you hear that Warner wouldn't air? So AEW wanted to do a tribute for him on their television, and Warner wouldn't allow them to do it because of the past tweet. That's what I was seeing this morning.
You just hate
And I was
that.
Like, bro, oh. I'm like, are you? Yeah.
It's
Isn't
so
it fun. Amazing?
Well, yeah, that's too far. That's too
we
far.
Get defined, that's being defined by our mistakes. And isn't that, like, the quintessential, like, what we try not to do, right?
I feel unless, you know, you murdered somebody or committed some horrible felony, when you pass away, all debt's paid. And and you just reflect on the tribute and the good thing. Just a tweet. What is a tweet? It's nothing.
A lot more than
exactly. And it's just the people that focus on that stuff, man, I just have absolutely no respect for. You can't get past a few words that somebody says. Your life is, you are that brittle. You're that frail. You know, I always think the people that go hardest on somebody's tweet, that means they've got so many skeletons in their closet and their virtue signaling. Obviously, they're covering up for other things. But
look at him. Look at him. Look at him. Not me. Look at him.
Yeah. And what's
really sad, too, is that times change now so quick. And I'm talking about the vernacular. The words we use, words have different meaning. I mean, look, we can't even keep up with it nowadays. So if something that someone tweeted 10 years ago, you know, means something different or could be interpreted like as something different because the rules have changed, like it's not okay to go back and then use that against someone, you know. Well, and then if the context,
you do, again, what does that say about you? Like,
yeah,
you know, it, whatever happened to redemption, everyone says something stupid. I think probably the worst case of this was, I think it was a hockey kid who just got, was getting drafted. And when he was 13, he tweeted some dumb shit. And his draft status is affected now, and he can't get drafted because when he was a 13-year-old idiot, you know, a kid, he said some dumb stuff. You know, I find that, like, what good is that for anybody, you know?
It's not. It's not at all. And that's the problem that through social media. I mean, social media is a real problem.
It's like fake jail. You know, they don't, they want, they want all the, no, it, they want all the jail, real jails open, and they want to ruin people and lock them up and cancel them and put pressure on them to make a living or whatever, because they, their feelings are so important. Like, I've never, like, I use Twitter and social media to promote events and to promote my shows and stuff, but I just don't care enough to get into battles with people or, and stuff. When I see that, when I see stuff, when I see people who are like gunning for you, trying to get you to react so they can take a snapshot of your tweet and say, look what he said to me.
Yeah.
You know, like that's your day. Yeah. That's what you build off on. And it's just, I really wish I didn't even hear that. Like, look, that just makes me like, that's just so stupid. This man, he's gone. His family is struggling and they have to deal with that. And there are other people in the accident who are having their own issues and trying to get through things. And you're not going to tribute somebody because of that. I mean, I guess that's their choice, you know, but it didn't stop the wrestlers. A lot of guys paid tribute in the ring. A lot of guys wore bands. Eddie Kingston held up a sign. NXT. Yeah, I mean, across the world. Like, it doesn't matter where you work. It's a brotherhood whether you like it or not. And when one of us goes down, we all need to pay respects. It doesn't matter if you like him or not or didn't know him. It's just,
but the thing is, he was a good dude, bro.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
great ideal. He was the ideal man of America, bro. I said this yesterday. He was making really good money at Ring of Honor, six figures, making good money, right? And still going to work on his landscaping business Monday through Friday and his chicken farm. Him and his brother both. They were working full time job businesses and employing others, you know, when they didn't have to. So he was on his way home from a cheerleading competition that he took his daughters to. He was so involved with his kids and other kids in his community. But you don't see none of that, bro. And that's what makes me so frustrated, because he was such a good person.
You know, and then that's the thing about good people. They don't broadcast what they do. They don't. Exactly. They don't give a meal of food to a homeless guy and videotape it. They just do it.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? They don't.
Absolutely.
Every time they do something in their community, they don't take a selfie and post doing this today, because they're only doing it for attention. And for, those are the worst kind of people. So yeah, you don't know all the good things he's doing because he's in the moment and he's a real person. And people around him, anyone who spent any time in the locker room with him, I mean, he was just a good dude, positive dude. If a young guy came up and asked questions, man, he listened. And they go out there and just kill it. The Crockett Cup was the last time.
It was amazing. Yeah,
I saw them, and they were in the NWA locker room. And I don't think there was one guy who was saying, "We got to Billy, you got to keep these guys. You got to bring them back. You got to bring them back." You know, everybody wanted to work them. And it's just, to Luke's point, man, they didn't broadcast what they do because they're real people. You know, I absolutely raise my eyebrow every time someone posts something solid they did today. And I'm like, why do you need to tell us? It's not about,
right.
You know, like, why does everyone need to know what you did today?
And it's because we're living in a generation where a lot of people are starting to believe, because of social media, that if they don't post it, it didn't happen. You know what I mean?
And, yeah, that's and, a good and, point,
and
Kevin.
It's really bad. You know, it's a really, it can become an addiction to do things like that. And like I said, I mean, we kind of, this subject comes up a lot where it's just like, it's altering too much of who and what we are. You know, we all should be focused more about what's going on in the moment. I agree with you.
Also, am I the only one that got to work with him? Like in the ring?
I know Luke worked with him.
All right.
Luke has worked. If you have not worked Luke, you've not wrestled.
Luke's worked everything.
Yeah.
I haven't worked Luke. He is easily, hands down, top five guys I've been in the ring with too. Like storytelling, athleticism, poise, grace, presence, timing, all of that. So I don't know if he ever got that due because he was always in the tag team. The tag team was so proficient, so well done. But as a solo act, as himself, he was unbelievable.
Well, the other point you're talking about with the tag team we brought up as well is like Mark. Mark not only lost his brother, but now lost his tag team partner, the guy that he's made his name in this business with.
And his business partner.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
Best friend. I mean,
yeah, he's lost it all in one shot to a certain extent.
Mark especially. Yeah, Jay and Mark, but Mark especially, like, there's a warmth to them. And then pre-match, Mark would always gather up everybody for a prayer, which really turned out to be inspiring. And he's, you know, praying before the match, blessing everybody. And I'm like, this feels great, and this is an awesome promo. This promo rules. But at the same time, just like,
plus he has to pray for you because he knows he's about to whoop your ass. Hey, because they bring it. They go 150% every match, all the time, 24/7. It's like it don't matter if they hurt, if they sick, they are bringing it.
Guys that you want in this business, guys that you want to watch wrestle, guys that you want to watch succeed.
True story. I went to Mexico for CMLL, me and Jay, for the cup down at a big tournament, right? And Jay had a slice across his back that looked like Saget from Street Fighter slice across his chest. And it was all stapled up. And he wrestled for like 2 weeks with his back stapled up. The whole time, like all the way across. I'm talking about like at least 14 inches about the cut, like, wow. Like way across the back, stapled together. And he wrestled the whole tour like that.
But that's how it was back in the day though. Right, boys? Like you had to, didn't matter if you were hurt, cut, as long as you could get to the ring and perform, like you had to do
because,
it.
There wasn't no time off. You're right, but the thing is, Trev, too, like when we know this, how the person you were in the ring with, it was understood, even if you didn't like each other, they would be there for you to cover. Like, let's take my retirement match, for example.
Oh, God.
let's take it.
Yeah, let's take it. Let's take it. Mail it back to sender.
But
I didn't know you were like, tired.
Like yeah. No. Like, those are the guys, like I said, in getting back to that. But yeah, like the Briscoes, just everywhere they went. I mean, it's almost like, and I don't know if I'm gonna go too far, but like how Brody back in the day, he was always his own attraction, and he was so good that he was able to go to different promotions to do his thing. And I always kind of thought the Briscoes were like that, like wherever they were,
they were that
attraction, and that was just it's just sad because it feels in the same vein of Shad, where it's just completely out of nowhere and senseless.
Yeah, that's a good comparison.
You know, yesterday when we had the lost episode, when everyone was talking and sharing their stories, and it was very faith based, very spiritual based, and it was very heartwarming.
That episode,
like I couldn't talk because I was just feeling everything everybody was saying. That's kind of how I deal with tragedy and death, especially as somebody that I have a great deal of respect for. Like, I sit in solitude and think about it. So yesterday when everyone was talking and sharing those stories, especially what Trevor shared, it was very heartwarming and opening. And needed. What I've noticed about this, and it's like with text groups, with us, with anybody you're in the business with, and these, you know, these little sections you have, everybody's checking on everybody.
Yeah.
Reminding them, you know, hey, dude, I love you. Oh, geez. Love you too, buddy. Yeah. You know, it's just a lot of like intersparse. How's everyone doing today? You know, we're all upset, you know, but like just the amount of brotherhood that this has brought upon us, still like something to not be forgotten.
You're listening to the Three Wise Men, and we'll be right back after this.
Kudlow on Fox Business is now on the go for podcast fans. Get key interviews with the biggest business newsmakers of the day. The Kudlow podcast will be available on the go after the show every weekday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
Well, and I think at one time, you see, we all of us that are on this podcast right now had to deal with something tragic by themselves and had to figure it out by themselves. And the fact that we now have men, not only men that we care about, but men that are in the wrestling business, we can open up and be honest with each other and realize that we're all going through the same shit. Just sometimes it's got a different facelift on it.
Same shit, different face. That's a t-shirt.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
That is a t-shirt. 1,000%. I'm not wearing it, but it is a t-shirt.
But,
you know, it's, you know, because, you know, Kevin Nash, who's going through what he's going through, you know, Jesus, and I'm checking on him all the time, just random, just, hey, you know, because you just, we're surrounded by thousands of people, millions of people have seen us all perform, you know, one time or another or whatever, but you're really alone out there. And you're even more alone sometimes when you're not in the ring. And when things happen, it's like you don't always deal with it. Sometimes being that turned up character can be the worst thing for you because you're supposed to be able to, you know, wrestler, you got the show goes on, you know, you got to keep going. And sometimes you got to have someone to say, no, you need to stop. And you need to deal with this because we're like next town, brother. Next thing we all work. Everyone on this panel has at least two jobs. Nobody, well, except, you know, Aaron, but because he's still living off his trust fund.
I'm on Cameo.
I'm on Cameo. That okay.
I have five jobs. None of them make me money, though.
Yeah. Well, you know, and
that's right, baby.
But you know, we just sometimes it's just a voice that comes. You know, when. With us, because everything's on the surface, you know, we're always working, you know, and and there's always that thing. Hey, how are you doing? I'm all right. And I forget the name of the guy who does those on Instagram, man. But, you know, yeah, I'm all right. You know, and that's just what men do. You know, we got to deal with it. And losing somebody, you know, losing a child, man, you know, you're never going to be the same. You just
never.
You're never going to be the same, you know. And there's, and I think that's the tough part is because I think sometimes when people see you on TV, they just expect you to be able to handle everything, and sometimes you just can't, you know.
With you, I seen Kevin made a comment. I used to walk into my house of three. And now I walk in knowing only two's there. And I was like, oh, God damn. Like, that's, oh, I can't. Whew. Tyrus, you got kids. I got kids. I couldn't imagine my numbers going down. Our numbers are supposed to go down when we're out of the equation. Parents are, you know, never should bury children. So I can't.
You know, and
I can't imagine.
He's one of my favorite people. You know, and because sometimes it's like you feel like you're being soft by checking on somebody. Does anyone ever feel that way? In like you don't want to bring it up. You know, you don't want to bring it up. You know,
I don't want to bother somebody.
Yeah.
So some people, you know, some people, you just like if I'm not that close to you. I don't. I mean, you know what I mean. Like,
yeah.
Some people you'll say anything to, and others I'm like, "Who? I don't want to bring up your situation."
Yeah.
I I'll be honest with you, fellas, just with what like I dealt with Lance, like sometimes those phone calls can change a motherfucking day. Because there are times, man, when I just, like when I was going through Lance's shit, like it would have been nice just to have one of the boys be like, hey, you doing okay? But because I was out of that picture, because I was out of that bubble, because you guys know how WWE is, like the wheel don't stop. The wheel don't stop for nobody.
No, the bus keeps going.
Right. And all my friends and everybody that was connected to that situation was on the road. So it, you know, just to hear somebody call and go, hey, are you doing okay today? And I think that's why we all do it to each other now, is because we, you know, it, everybody needs to hear that. Hey, you doing okay? You know, everybody. It doesn't matter how tough you are.
No, and I don't, I think that's one of the hardest things for me, just being real, is checking on people. Like I have been such a nomad my whole life. It's like, if it's in front of me, it's like, you know, that sometimes that saying is like, oh man, I ain't talked to my boy in 10 years. But when I talk to a man, it's like, I just saw him yesterday. I feel like sometimes that's an excuse. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
You know, like, and it was like a point of pride for a while that I never had roots. You know what I'm saying? And when you don't have roots, sometimes it's hard to connect. Or when something bad happens, I don't want to deal with it. So I'm just going to just keep going and just assume everyone else is on the same plan, you know, and then you get into your own shit when you're like, somebody's struggling. You're like, well, you just got to toughen up, you know, because we get that you know, not just being in this sport, but just being alpha males at all. It's like, you're not really allowed to be weak, you know, like if you come home and you're crying and because you lost somebody or one of your friends has a bad hard time, look at the reaction you would typically get from your spouse or somebody else. Like everyone's kind of like, huh, like what do they do, you know? And that's difficult sometimes, because the one who needs to be checked on is his brother, because think about what he's going through.
Yeah,
like they completed each other's sentences. You understand what I'm saying? Like, so his whole world,
they
know,
were twins. That's even closer. You're not just brothers, right? They were twins, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't get any tighter with somebody than that. No. The same, you know what I mean?
So, you know, we just have to, when tragedies happen, I think it's a good sign now that every one of us is doing a homie check. You know, and I guess, 100%. And that's cool. And you know, for people who listen out there, you don't have to be in wrestling to do the homie check, do the friend check, fellas. Women do it all the time. They'll call each other every day and they'll be like, oh, you have to understand, this morning I was feeling I had coffee, but the maker didn't work and I was so distraught. And they'll be like, oh, you tell, and they'll sit there and I'll sit there and look at them like, what in the blue fuck are you talking about? Why would you care? You know what I'm saying? Like, this is what, you know? And, I was thinking about last night, because I have been planning on calling Rob, our trainer at Hard Knock South, who I have been friends with and proud to be friends with since 2010, when the first thing he said to me was, how are you going to fit in my gym? That's the first thing he said. He was like,
well played.
No, that he looked me over and Rob looked me up and down, and I was like, I was 489, I think. Yeah, 89. I wasn't 90. That's a fat fuck. I was 489. I was in my frame still, barely. And he looked me up and down, and he was like, what are you going to do? Like, what's your plan? And he was talking to me like he had just eaten an onion. You know what I'm saying? Like, his face was just like, this is... No, absolutely not. And you know, and I just said, I'm going to lose some weight and work out hard. And he was like, okay, I guess we'll try it. We'll see. You know,
you know what Rob said to me on the first incursion? Because here comes John Cena's personal coach.
Yeah.
Dude's jacked. Dude looks like, you know, the boot camp guy. He looks me over. And this was about the same time. And he goes, hey, you look pretty good. And in my mind, I'm like, of course I do. I'm ripped. Yes, I look good. And then he goes, but your back sucks. And I went, oh.
He He just cut a body guy.
Yeah.
A body guy. But then years later, I trained that back, and under his tutelage, I won a powerlifting contest with the deadlift.
Yeah.
We're back. So,
Go ahead, sorry.
No, it was what, like 4 months later, he comes down to have a meeting, and he said the hardest working guys in the gym were Brodus and Tevita. And it went from, ew, please don't stand next to me, to this is my guy, you know, and there's a bond there. And we talked for probably an hour and a half last night and just shooting the shit. And I'm like, why do I wait so long to talk to the people that I care about? And I'm thinking it's, you know, and I don't want to take any of this away. This isn't about me, but I feel like we're all kind of, and Luke, I feel like you and I are like damn near the same with this, where we're so busy trying to get somewhere that we don't normally ever look back. You know what I'm saying? We take care of what's in front of us, and we got so much going on. We got to make sure our kids are straight and our family straight. And that 5 minutes on the phone just to check on somebody is like, I'll do it tomorrow. Or they'll understand, because, you know, we're hustling. We're trying to do what we got to do.
Yeah. It's tough, man. It is. It doesn't get easier. And no. I thought it would be easier as we get older. And then sometimes you really think, at least I did, maybe I'm foolish for thinking this. I thought the bigger I got popularity wise, the kind of easier it would be for me. Like, I wouldn't have to work as hard on so much, but that wasn't true.
No.
It was like more work comes in, thankfully, but it spreads you so thin that I tell everybody all the time, I just constantly piss everybody off because I can't give one person the proper attention they need. Cause I'm just trying to do so much between your children, any family members, friends, your girl, work, and we have friends in every field. You got to think, Tyrus, look at you. You're going to have people at the news station. You got people from wrestling, people from film, anything you do, you meet people, and we're everybody here is doing multiple things. So how do you balance that properly?
Yeah, that's the hustle. I mean, that's the thing to try to figure out. And then the worst part is then when you don't have anything going on, you got too much pride to tell, like, to when you do, you're like, hey, what's going on? Oh man, I'm between gigs right now, trying to figure. You don't want to tell that story.
Right.
You know, so it's all, I'm all right, I'm good, you know. And it's just,
well, because you feel like if you're not doing something, you're failing.
Yeah.
And that's not the case. You're just transitioning to your next thing. Because
look, we're all dumbasses that picked entertainment and sports.
Oh.
Yeah. It's like,
silly idea.
I was just talking
to Brady Pierce.
Oh, go ahead, Luke. Sorry.
I was just talking to Brady Pierce about this yesterday. I said the same thing. I said, we chose entertainment, and the unfortunate thing with entertainment is you never know. There's no like direct path that you can follow to success. It's just work hard and look for opportunities and try and earn opportunities and hope you get them. Whereas if you work a Monday through Friday 9-to-5 job, you know you're secure every week. The job, you don't know how good or bad the jobs are going to be, but you're going to work every day for sure. You know you got a check coming in. With us, we're constantly busy hustling, trying to find gigs. And if we're not doing that, we're not working. And that's the thing with entertainment. You know, it sucks in that aspect because you never know.
And you're one tweet away from it being gone.
Yeah, exactly.
Unbelievable. You know, it just blows my mind sometimes. That's why you just don't say shit. Just block them.
I mean, that's the way. And to me, what we were talking about, like the hardest thing for me was the transition specifically from the WWE schedule to really any other schedule, because it's such a weird thing where you are, from the time you get up in the morning, even at your own house, you are on a schedule because you have to be at the airport a certain time. And then you get home, and we know this, right? Like the day and a half, maybe you're home, if you're lucky, you pay bills, like, do your chore and then do laundry and then you fly out again. So like the transition when I was trying to make it in film and I walked away from wrestling completely, that time, like staring at the walls, like I didn't know how to deal with that. That's right.
Yeah. Trailer will drive you insane.
You go from massive structure, Aaron, to none.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When that happens. And I think we all kind of go through that. I know I did. It went massive structure to, oh my God, you know, what do I do now? What do you do now? And WWE is kind of, it's a blessing in a way where they do that. They have structure like that. But when you, when you're out of it, there's,
but there's also that paranoia that when they future endeavor you and you, every time you came into Raw or SmackDown or a house show or whatever, and you walked up and you saw your name wasn't on that piece of paper for that night, you're automatically go straight into paranoia. Like, I'm not fucking booked. Well, I'm not getting, and if you're over your deal, I'm not getting fucking paid today. So why am I not getting booked? What the fuck I do? Okay, 3 weeks in a row, I'm not booked. So now what I'm going to do? And then when you finally let go, now you're definitely not booked. And now all that paranoia of what you're going to do next is there. And there's no following week. And that sometimes leads to like really bad decisions because you're like just hustling, trying to do anything, you know? And then the people around you pay for it. Because now your frustration can't be taken out with the other boys who are going through the same shit. You can't sit around your little circle in the locker room and talk shit about the writers. Now you got to talk to your girl about that shit. And the last thing you want to talk to them about is not knowing what the hell you're going to do. You know, because you're, that's the thing is like when you're around everyone else and we're stuck in shit together, it's a little easier. Cause like, oh, I'm not booked or man, I didn't get that audition. And like, oh, you tried out for that one too? I didn't get that shit either, man. Fuck them guys. You know, it's like you revel in, we didn't get it. But when you don't get it and they're like, are we going to be able to pay the light bill next week? What are you going to do? You know?
Yeah.
You can't leave town.
The realization didn't hit me until my first show after WWE. Because I still had a decent bank, you know, still had money in the bank. I was like, oh, this freedom, finally. But then when I went and did my first independent, and I was, my locker room was the same bathroom as the bowling alley that I was wrestling at. I was like, oh man, this ain't good. You know, this.
Yeah.
That's where the realization really like smacked me in the face. I was like, oh Jesus Christ. I had
out earned my deal. So I hadn't got paid in like 4 months because I wasn't getting booked and still had to travel to sit at Raw. And,
did you get anything at the 90 days?
Okay. The one thing I love about WWE, you get your 90 days. I remember going to Michael Hayes and going, bro, my light's about to get cut off. I don't care what I have. Can you please put me on a house show? And he was like, I can get you a colleague. I can get you. And Michael Hayes was always good to me. Like, I love Michael Hayes, but, and he knew, and I had so much heat, even him sticking his neck up, he was going to get heat, but he got me some matches with, Khali on some house shows. And that money literally kept me from being out. I was literally going to be a signed WWE superstar evicted because,
and
that's crazy, but that's what happens.
And why did he, like, what do you mean he had heat? I mean, that's the other thing that used to drive me nuts. It's like, oh, you I'm being slowed down for heat, but what, I know you, Tyrus, so you great guy. Like,
I was not a great guy. I will be the first one to tell you if they looked at me, I glared back.
It was lovely.
I blamed fuck the writers. I didn't like, every time, like, you know, when I didn't want to talk to Triple H because I was like, I'm not going up to him and asking him to be booked. You know what I'm saying? Right, like, right. And I would see the other guys do that. And I'm like, I'm not doing that shit. And you know what? Maybe I should have, because maybe it was coming off to where I thought I was too good. Like, you know, and Tenzai, who's has all this knowledge and has been through everything. And I wasn't hearing shit he had to say. I was just always like, they're fucking me. They're fucking us. Like, this is bullshit. You know, and Tenzai's like trying to talk to me and I'm just like not hearing the shit. I'm like, this is garbage, you know, like, and we're not getting booked and they took my WrestleMania match away. Like, this is fuck. Like, that's who I was. Right. Like, I was lock, stock and barrel bitter. Like,
it's easy to get like that because you're
bitter. You know, and I look back on it, and it, who was the one doing it? Me. Wasn't like Triple H was going home going, how are we going to fuck Brodus next week? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, forget everything we got going on. Like, hey, hun, pass the potatoes, and how are we going to get Brodus? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, right.
You
yeah,
know
right.
what I mean? But, yeah, like, that's your – you really walk in – you walk into yeah. To the building, and you think all these writers and stuff are literally walking around going like, we got to fuck this guy today. How are we going to do it? Like, that's –
hey, they didn't help themselves by being so cocky at times either.
Hold it right there. We'll be back in a jiffy. That's you know what the kiss of death was me was they were me and Tenzai were tagging in. They wanted Big Show to come out and knock us out. Right. Me and Tenzai were having a match. This is before we were tag partners. He comes out and he was trying to mess with me. He punches Tenzai first. And then punches me, and I was like, so Tenzai wins. And they're like, what? Because he hit him first. He's disqualified. I'm disqualified. And then they said to fire up and charge it at Show, and Show's going to punch you. I said, just run at him and get punched. And I looked around, and I was like, have you ever been in a fight? Why in the blue fuck would I just run at someone and get punched? Can I pretend like I was swinging or something? Like, no, just fire up and charge at him. Like a dumbass. And I remember
like a dumbass.
That's what I said. And then Scott Armstrong was trying to help me, grabbed me by my wrist, was like no. And I was like, sure, I'll just yell as loud as I can and charge at him and get knocked out.
Like you gotta get him ready for Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah.
You gotta get him prepped for Floyd Mayweather.
You know? And
I had to catch that little guy.
Yeah.
Midget.
And wow. I just remember that and I just was like so pissed off all the time. And, you know, I don't.
Do you remember the stagehand incident when we were walking to the building when you were so mad? And like, all right, so we, again, this was like somewhere, it was New Jersey or something. And it was a house show. And it was me, you, and Santino. And like, you were just upset. Like something happened with the restaurant or whatever. But like, it was a couple things on top of each other. And you walked in and you just completely like, cussed out the stagehands. You're like, oh yeah, these they're gonna probably get a better spot in the show tonight. And
that's horrible.
Like, and I go, Brodus, they don't work here. He goes, at least they're union.
Well, because I didn't get paid.
that was it. I really really appreciated that little rant. That was a lot.
I was asking if they had any work. Like, is there any work on Ring Crew? Like I need to do something tonight, you know. And I was asking him, and I was like, where's the draw? Where's Mr. White when you need him? Like, I just was in a bad, like I said, but that to my point just goes like, when you're miserable, you think it's everybody else when it's really you. You know what I'm saying? And that's tough. And that's where friends, like, while Aaron is like being popped by it, but a friend would have, and I'm not down. Aaron, you had your own shit. You handled your paranoia way different than I did. Unfortunately, yes. Yours was at the bottom of, you know, you numbed yourself to it.
I did, 100%.
Yeah, and I didn't say to you, give me that bottle, stop doing that shit. And like, yep. You didn't say to me, hey man, talking shit and making sideways comments to the writers and the agents and stuff is a bad idea. Stop that shit, man. You know, because we don't, misery loves company. You know what I'm saying? So we all just kind of get in that vibe. Yeah. And now, well, with like wisdom and stuff, with wisdom and stuff, it's like now when things happen, because I'm in entertainment and this cutthroat business that we're in. Mm-hmm. And now when I get like that, I'm able to pull myself out of it. Like, why am I getting upset over this? Like, what? Like, stop, man. Like, don't be your worst enemy. Don't ever let them know you're upset. Don't let them know.
What you're telling me is that you're a man and you grew.
Yes.
From your experiences.
Yeah. I would stop being an angry little kid all the time when things didn't go my way, looking to blame everybody. And now I just was like, hey, when stuff doesn't go my way, I try to look at what I did. And it's a lot easier to fix and you sleep better.
Accountability.
Accountability.
Accountability. It cleanses the soul. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It
makes you sleep a lot better and you have way less enemies.
Way less enemies. Not to mention you give a shit less about other people's problems.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, it's an opinion and a job.
Yep.
And when you said at the end of the day, don't let them know you're upset, I'm at a point, I'm trying to take it a step further, where I'm trying not to even get upset. Like, I'm not going to give anyone the energy, like, that I could be using elsewhere in life to try to get to where I want to go.
That's exactly right. And it's hard. Because
yeah, it is.
Because you're passionate. And when you care about what you do, it's hard sometimes to be like, hey, you know. And that's the one thing I've noticed reconnecting with Kevin is Kevin used to always be paranoid. Like, if you said hey to Kevin softly, he'd be like, huh, what? Like, he would jump.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, what I do? Bro, I'm sorry I fell at the Rumble. Like, no, man, it's just me. Just saying what's up.
Yeah. Yeah, well, things too, you know, what I struggled with is not being able to let go of the past, right?
Yeah.
I think, and I'm really glad you just brought that up, Tyrus, because I did struggle with that. If I made a mistake, you know, and this is a pattern of thought that I've carried kind of my whole life. And I don't know if there's other people out there that are similar. Like my, you know, if I made a mistake, I would carry it in my heart and in my mind for a year. And I think probably what was happening around WWE is people were seeing that. It was just like, you know, come on, Kev, like, you made a mistake, let it go. But it was hard for me. It was hard for me to do that. You know, you fall out of the Rumble, or you whatever, your arm drag isn't as clean as it should be. And it's just, you know, then I would walk around with that for days.
And go people and who are competing against you see it. And see the sharks come out. And
100%, bro. Yep. So, yeah, no, that's, I hope I've grown in that way, right? You know, the past is the past, and you got
to
let it go.
Well, you have to, because you've been doing this show, and as much as we fuck with you on this show, like,
I keep showing up. Right?
Yeah, you know, because the old Kevin would have sent me a 16-page text, one long text, apologizing profusely for making me have the illusion that he was trying to steal the show. You know, like, I would never imagine it, you know, like... And would call me every other day going, you know, I didn't steal the show, right? I would never do that. I'm just, I can't sleep. I haven't eaten in 3 days. I just, the idea of you thinking that I'm a thief. Like,
as opposed to me, who
God
just
bless
did
you
it
for
yesterday.
Noticing.
Yeah. Yeah, I see what you just tried to do there, Aaron. We're not saying.
No, I mean, like, I'm the snake. I'm the one you got to watch out for. We all know this.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, Aaron did suggest yesterday that we change the name of the show to Tyrus, Aaron, and the Wise Meat.
Yeah, yeah. And he cut out the Tyrus part slowly but surely. You know, because I know him and Kevin were plotting yesterday, and EC3, thank you, from the bottom of my heart.
He hit the mute button, and we didn't hear from him.
The first person to say where was Tyrus, by the way, is me.
Yeah, that thing. Yeah, because that's how you started.
Said, hold
hey guys,
on, no,
where's Tyrus
in the studio?
He's really late. Do you think we should start without him? I mean, you think?
I'm just waiting back and observing the scene.
And I'm sitting in there, and we're doing. I can't say the top secret thing that the meeting that I was in, but I was sitting there, kept looking at my watch, going, this shouldn't take this long. Like, this is like, you know, but, and then I finally looked at my phone and I saw the text messages and I saw that they pulled the plug and I was like, just let him, you know, let him go. And then I said, who was leading it? And they said, it was the one, I'm like, Kevin or Aaron? No. It was like one of the two. And I was like, I knew it.
Wait a minute. Now the producers were stooging us all.
I
trust anybody.
Yeah, no. It's a knives out.
Bamboozled.
Knives out. No, I'm just knives out.
We were 20 minutes in, and I said, "Yeah, come on."
I was just like, tired. "You guys were 20 minutes in. Let him go. Like, let him go." Like,
we were honestly.
I'm sure Luke could have been negative for the both of us. You know, like, you know what I'm saying?
We were waiting for you to just hop in like you normally.
Yeah, man, I was trying, man. But I was like, and then I didn't even realize what time it was when we got out. It just seemed like I was in there a lot longer than I needed to be. And which I was correct. So, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, I appreciate your guys' patience. And again, I apologize for that. But,
not necessary.
But
we're riding your coattails.
It was for a good cause. Yes. So
you know what they did say though. Eventually, they said after 30 minutes, they go, "He's not showing up. Goodbye, guys."
Oh, they did it like that. Yeah.
So well, they knew.
Yeah.
They made it very clear. Who
Kate is ruthless. Kate is ruthless.
Like, that's fine.
She doesn't have Dylan's passion for wrestling.
No.
So she's just like, these are just a bunch of dudes talking at a bar without alcohol. This is boring. Pull the plug. I got other things to do. I got guys coming here talking about fiscal responsibilities, you know. This is a learned news station. It's not, you know, it's not a locker room. So I get it. But I appreciate you guys.
Conversation on the station. Right?
Yeah, I feel you. But you know, well, again, prayers, condolences to the family of Briscoe, and
yes,
you know, and it's been a tough year, and it just started. So that's the know. So you know, but the good thing is, you know, reach out when you're having a bad time, fellas. I don't have to say it's the ladies because they get it, but fellas, man, you got to do the homie checks. I think that's how we'll end it today. Do the homie checks. It doesn't take long, because that's another thing too. No one really talks long on the phone. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's real quick. You know, it's just like, hey, what's up? Da, 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 da. It's not like, hey, what are you doing? What are you thinking? Because you'd be like, what? You drunk, bro? I mean,
some people talk long on the phone.
Well, if we got stuff to discuss, but I'm just saying, like, it's Saturday. Hey, EC3, what's up? What's going on? How you doing? How you feeling? What are you doing? What are you watching?
I'm going to go to this farmer's market. You know, it's going to be cool, man. But how's everything? Good?
Yeah, awesome, good. Buddy. All right.
I'll see you Thursday.
All right. See what I'm saying? There's no dragging out, you know, where Kevin is like, how are you feeling? And I'll be like, click.
He wants to tap into the emotions, bro.
Yeah. We got to work on stuff. All right. For more podcasts like this, just like this, you can check us out at foxnewspodcast.com. EC3, where can they get the narrative?
Free, EC3.com, at the real EC3 on all the social. That's it. You'll find it.
Trevor, Luke, Aaron, let everybody know where they can reach out. Luke, make sure you tell everybody where they can tune in to see your shows, because you got like 3 hot shows going on right now.
Yeah. Well, you check us out on Young Rock on Friday nights on NBC, 7:30 Central Time, 8:30 Eastern Time. Heel Season 2 is rumored to be having some announcements soon, so hopefully we got that going on Stars and Lionsgate. And man, we got the Wildcat show this weekend. Heavyweight champion Trevor Murdoch's gonna be in the house there.
Oh, that's cool.
Yes, sir.
It'll be big.
Saturday. It is, man. Saturday night and bell time 7 p.m. Doors at 6 p.m. If you want tickets, head over to wildcatsports.com, WILDKAT. sports.com, and you can follow me on all social media at Luke Hawks 504, LUKEHAWX 504.
That's how you do it, Aaron. What do you got?
Hey, you can find me on Instagram at the Aaron Files. That's THE1A, by the way, RON Files.
That was horribly uncomfortable.
Kevin.
The only thing I got is IG. I got rid of the rest of it at Kylie Jr. WWE, and every Thursday on The Wiseman.
All right, Trevor.
You guys catch me at the Real T Murdoch. And of course, just like Luke said, this weekend, I'm headed to New Orleans to defend the Wildcat Sports Heavyweight title.
All right, and you'll see me on the Fox. All right, fellas, enough said.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and 4-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.